Cape Talk. Family Matters.
Our focus today is on what happens when a family member faces the devastating prospect of retrenchment. We know times are tough in the economy right now, and sadly, this is a specter which has haunted many of our families. And over the years, I've experienced this through my own immediate family and extended family. It is a very, very, very tough thing to face. Losing your job to retrenchment, not only having potentially devastating financial consequences, but also huge, huge impact on the psychology, on self-esteem, on one's sense of who one is and what value you hold in society. These are some of the issues we're going to be chatting about today from several perspectives, including that of a psychologist. Brian Blem joining me on the line, who is a counseling psychologist at the Lighthouse Therapy Center in Gauteng. Brian, welcome to the show. Nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Pippa. It's great to be on the show.
A little bit later, we'll also be chatting to Jennifer Ritchie, who's a career coach and trainer, who has actually written a book called Retrenchment, a coaching handbook for reinventing yourself. And then I'm also hoping to hear from some of you about your own experiences, whether you've been retrenched, whether you are currently looking for work after having been retrenched, whether it's something that you survived and came out the other end and you want to share advice with those listening today. Please feel free to join the conversation on 021-446-0567. Brian, I think for many people, when they've told they've been retrenched once, they've negotiated the severance package that is available to them, etc., the most pressing concern is obviously the financial one of how they're going to support themselves and their families. But I'm also interested in talking about the psychological impact of a person going through retrenchment, because that, I think, is as far-reaching and potentially more damaging in the long term than the financial consequences can be.
Yes, Pippa. I think that is very much the case, that we have a physical reality, but there's also the emotional, mental reality of our lives, and we could even argue a spiritual dimension to being a human. And so, yeah, there certainly are huge challenges physically with finances and making practical arrangements. But yeah, I would agree that it's the emotional part that is probably the more hidden and sometimes, you know, can be the real problem for people to move forward.
I mean, let's talk about unpacking that a little bit. What is the impact from a psychological perspective of being told, sorry, we no longer have a job for you at this country, you're no longer needed, we can't afford to have you, whatever the reason may be, you have been retrenched. I had a listener who contacted me a while ago referencing the concept of feeling they'd been thrown away, a throwaway society where they no longer felt valuable.
Yes, it is. I was thinking about it, and I think that rejection, feelings of rejection, even possibly betrayal, how the company handles the unfolding of this situation is also, you know, there's office politics. So there can be a lot of thinking going on, automatic thoughts that can arise in a person's mind about what it means, and we can very easily start to partner with thoughts and belief systems that may be more negative than positive about us as people and our relationships with other people. So it can really take us into a dark place.
A dark place psychologically, but is there then a knock-on risk that in turn starts to affect the very practical decisions that you've got to make to get through the immediate financial challenges? Because if you're feeling run down, you're feeling not of value, you're feeling perhaps I'm not the person I thought I was, does that impact on one's ability to make clear and coherent and sometimes very difficult decisions about your finances?
I believe it does. You see, we exist at three levels in life. It's a generalization, but it's quite useful. Level one is survival. Level two is a place of healing. And level three is wholeness. And it relates to Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And we all have inescapable needs as human beings. And when we are put in this position, we tend to go back to our primary needs, and those are the survival needs, which are then being triggered, and then we can actually operate at a survival level, which is not always where we can be most effective in our thinking processes, and we just grab onto things and it's very much fear-driven, and that can really... We can just go into a bit of a spiral in that situation.
Mm. We're talking to Brian Blem, who's a counselling psychologist at the Lighthouse Therapy Centre in Gauteng, talking about retrenchment, the psychological impact of being retrenched, as well as the decisions that have got to be made to face the immediate future. And at this point, I want to bring in a listener who's called in to share his story with us and wants to remain anonymous. Well, I think for the sake of practicality, I'm going to give you a fake name, if I may, and say hello, David, and thanks so much for calling in to share your story. Tell us where you're at right now. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Exactly as Brian's saying, I was retrenched last year in October, and you know it was a case where I knew the organisation I was with wasn't doing as well as it could be for various reasons, and so it wasn't a complete shock. But you go through a process where you're part of a senior management team, and it's as if you're being tried by your peers, people that you sit and make decisions with on a daily basis, and. You know, it's not just one meeting and you're out. It's several weeks or months. And that entire time, you can't really work. You can't concentrate. You can't get yourself into it. When you're going to speak to staff members, you don't feel that you are the manager that you should be because of what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
The process eventually, you know, wound down and the retrenchment took place. We're now sitting 9 months later and I'm unemployed. Mm-hmm. And... You know, exactly as Brian was saying, it doesn't matter how positive you are as a person and what your beliefs and spirituality is, it eventually comes time when you can't make proper decisions. You feel worthless. You feel helpless. You know, you don't feel worthy.
Mm.
And personally, for me, the worst thing is with my son. Mm. You know, having to explain to him, you know, Dad doesn't have money, you know. I'm at the stage where I've got to speak to his school now, and it's all those knock-on effects.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
So it's as if it takes your, I don't want to use the word manhood, but, you know, along those lines, and it just strips you of everything. And I know it's not right, and I know that I did nothing wrong.
Yes, yes. Yes, David, and if I may say, Pippa, if you give me a chance,
please.
I think that what happens... And in your story, David, it's very clear to me that what's happening is the sense of community. You were part of a team. You were playing you had a role. You were adding value, and for circumstances beyond your control, you found yourself on the receiving end of this major decision. And I think that it's related to trauma. Unexpected thing. Yes, you could see something coming, but it actually becomes quite life-threatening, and it leaves us with a broken sense of community because people are involved in this, and we are not perfect by any means, and the way that people respond is not always helpful and encouraging, and so we end up being isolated and have a break with community, and that's where I believe that part of the journey back into community is to develop partnerships and relationships with other people who can support you and help you and you know recover community, support you in recovering community. And I think that it's interesting, divorce, redundancy, those are real breaks of community.
Mm.
And there are divorce care support groups, and I really believe that there should be unemployment support groups, redundancy support groups that should be existing around our country where we can add value to each other's lives and really, you know, support each other through this time because the stigma and the shame is a real problem.
Yeah, Brian, I just want to say I agree with you 100% and you've absolutely summed it up. You talk about shame. Now, one of the things that I've picked up with friends and people that I know, they initially hear about it and they go, oh, we're so sorry. And then they tend to say things like, you're not alone. It's happening to a lot of people. No, we know people.
Mm.
And, you know, the worst thing when somebody's frustrated is you don't say to them, oh, stop being frustrated or stop being silly. Now it's months and months later and people look at you and although they don't say it, it's kind of like, what have you been doing? You know, why aren't you getting back in there. And it is that break. So eventually you tend not to hang around with those people. You don't do what you used to do.
Well, and, you see,
and it's terrible.
David, and the thing is, depression is a part of this experience, because you get sad, and depression is a withdrawal kind of process where we get more and more isolated, and that's very, very dangerous.
It is, and you know, I'll be the first one to put up my hand and say I went through it, and I went to see somebody about it to speak to them. But, you know, it goes a little bit further than this, because it's not just the case of you part of a group making decisions in an environment at work, and then you're out. If you look at, and this is just me personally, I'm now 9 months down the line. I don't think there's a single agency out there doesn't have my CV who I've phoned. And my job is now 8 or 10 hours a day is to find employment. People don't get back to you. People from agencies literally say to you, because of your age and your color, we can't help you. It's all of those things. And then you start looking at your financial. So it's over time, it just gets worse and worse and worse and worse.
Yeah, but you see, this is where I think you caught between a rock and a hard place, and I was thinking about your situation, and I think that, you know, voluntary work, and actually you have such skills, you've got such life experience, and there's such a need in our country, and so I think that this, I must say, these curveballs in life are often a call to growth, where we have to open ourselves to a new experience, a new journey, and we cannot do it alone. We've got to get back into community, but we've got to think outside the box, and this could be your second chance. It's like the second half maybe of your life where yes, you are concerned about the finances, but if only we can't not look at that, but there's if we can look beyond that and trust that there's more and step into, you know, bravely step out, because you're spending all your time in trying to find that job, it's not working. Maybe you need to step sideways and go into something where you can add value and you can start to build community again, even if you don't get paid.
David, something for you to think about. I want to thank you for being so forthright and sharing your story with us today. And I've got several other people calling and wanting to speak about their own experiences as well. So if I may, for now, I'm going to move on. But David, you're welcome to stay with us, listening on to the conversation. And a very, very best of luck to you. I really hope that 9 months don't become 10 months. I hope that there is something just around the corner waiting for you, and wish you all the best. It's heartbreaking how many people are sending messages, Brian, saying we're going through it. My husband's faced it. A lot of them have got a very similar theme here. And here is one anonymously saying, my husband got retrenched recently and he's always taken a lot of pride in providing for us. But these past few weeks, he's been very snappy and doesn't want to talk to me about this. Can you advise me on how to help him? It's a very difficult one for partners to deal with, isn't it? Because often they then, as well as wanting to be a good supportive partner to the person who's lost their job, at the same time, many of them will find themselves facing the additional burden of knowing that they're now the sole breadwinner in the family. It's a difficult time to be supporting somebody else while facing that pressure yourself.
Yes, and you see, marriage and relationship partnering is very important, you know, for this exact event, is that, you know, we have someone who's got our back, and yet often I find that couples are poorly prepared for these kind of experiences, and it is these kind of experiences that throws them into a situation where they need to rally themselves, and often it's when couples realize that they now need some sort of counseling support, a third party to come in, because as you say, they're both facing this problem and they're sinking in it, and often that's again where community is so important. The third party needs to be someone who can bring support and understanding and collaborate with the couple. So I really do believe that this can often be a time for couples to draw closer if they get the right kind of support and really create a more intimate relationship in the long run.
Hmm. If you've joined us late to the conversation, my guest on the line is Brian Blem, who's a counseling psychologist at the Lighthouse Therapy Center in Gauteng, talking about retrenchment. And we've sort of steered more towards the direction of the psychological impact of retrenchment. Towards the end of the segment, I will share with you advice on a really great book that's got some very practical steps for you to follow to talk you through some of the immediate financial decisions that need to be made. But seeing as we've been talking about couples, I want to bring in Mark at this point. He's been waiting very patiently. And James in Fishhook, I'll get to you next. Please stay with us. But Mark, it says on my screen that you have been through retrenchment and so has your wife as well. Did that happen at the same time or have you both had those experiences at different times in your marriage?
Hi, Pippa. Thanks for taking the call.
Sure.
I had the unfortunate experience of going through it by myself firstly.
Mm-hmm.
It hit me from left field. I didn't expect it. So just echoing to what David, the earlier caller, said, it does really bash your confidence quite heavily.
Mm.
The second time around, unfortunately, my wife and I both got notified. I could see it coming in the way the business was running that I then got employment at. I'd been with them for over a year. She didn't expect it, and the next thing we knew, we were both sitting at home looking for work. It put a tremendous amount of stress on our relationship to the point that I think, you know, the old adage of money walks out the front door and love walks out the back door. If it wasn't for friends, and friends that we didn't really expect the support from, that had rallied around us, and specifically talking about, which you mentioned earlier, spirituality, it was a key point of us actually pulling together on a spiritual level, knowing that on the physical level, it would eventually pan out. That's the one thing I wanted to say. The second thing that I just wanted to mention, and this is something that not a lot of people are aware of, when you go through that sort of stress, and as your previous caller said, David, I've been there, I've had to go and talk to schools, we've loaned money from family, which we've had to pay back, et cetera, et cetera. When you do find employment again, what you find yourself doing is literally throwing yourself against the wall to make up for the loss of the finances. So spiritually, you've pulled back together, but suddenly you've got this void of money that you need to pay debt back on. And we now in the process where we've been employed again for just over a year, but the burnout syndrome that we're having now in terms of the stress of being unemployed and retrenched and not having money, getting a job, having to overperform to keep that job, and suddenly it's 18 months, 16 months later, and you literally can't get yourself out of bed, but you know you have to. So I think that's a key component that if you are going through this, is just to try and remember. But most of all, to do that, your caller, David, I just wanted to say, hang in there. It does come on.
Yes,
Mark, thank you so much for that call. And echoing what you've just said to David, there's a message here on our WhatsApp just saying, wow, that man had guts. I take my hat off to him. It's probably one of my biggest fears to lose my job, and I really wish him all the best. Mark, thank you for sharing your story with us, and thank you whoever sent that message. I think that's a sentiment that is echoed, and I'm seeing it echoed here on our SMS line, on our WhatsApp feed. Here's another person saying, I can identify completely with these callers. I am completely isolated. I'm just very lucky I'm not in David's position in that I don't have kids to support, but I have animals. And in my case, vets and food honestly cost as much for pets these days as for people, as frivolous as that might sound compared to David's situation. I really feel for him. There's so many people echoing that sentiment of, David, you're not alone. We're facing this too. And recognizing that isolation. Brian, Mark has spoken about how the support from friends came from sometimes unexpected places. It's very hard for many people to share what's happened. They feel that sense of shame. They want to keep it private. I think I've mentioned before a family friend of ours who didn't even tell his wife he'd been retrenched, who pretended to go to work for months because he felt so deeply that sense of shame. Is it a time at which you should make yourself vulnerable and open yourself up to reaching out to other people who might be able to support you?
I do think so. You know, trust is such a big thing in our lives, and unfortunately, we live in a world where trust can be broken in so many ways, right from the cradle to the grave, and we tend to go into our basic coping mechanisms, which is a fight, flight, or freeze response to threat or danger, and those are the the responses that are not going to, we need time to recover. Of course, we have to accept that people need time to adjust, and there is a whole process of, you know, Elizabeth Kubler-Ross talked about the denial stage, the anger stage, the bargaining, and the sadness and then acceptance. And this is the roller coaster of emotions that people will inevitably experience when they experience redundancy or divorce, for that matter. Mm. And yet it's in that roller coaster that we've got to be careful not to isolate ourselves, because we could get caught in one of the valleys of the ice of the roller coaster. And so we have to get to a point where we start to rebuild trust in each other, in ourselves. Trust building is critically important, and it's done through community. And if you've got a best friend, or if you've got someone you can trust, then you really do need to try and open up to that person, or seek professional help. Or, you know, if you can't afford that, then just work through a lay counseling organization, like a church for that matter.
Great advice, Brian. I want to bring in, before we run out of time, James, who's been waiting so patiently on the line from Fishhook. James, thanks for your patience. What's your experience been?
Well, you know, with some jobs, being out of work comes with the territory. If you've been in the acting business, you get it maybe once every 3 months, once every 6 months. You know, you have to get the move on finding the next job.
Interesting perspective.
You know, you have to basically be an arrogant person who thinks you're the best thing since sliced bread, even if you're not. And after I left that business, when I got married, I moved into the advertising business, where if you've got a big client with the agency and the client drops you, then all the staff that service that client will bye-bye as well, because there's nobody paying their money either. So there are some jobs where you mustn't get into too much credit, into too much debt. You must basically buy your house, pay off the house first, not buy things on credit. And then every time you have a blow, it isn't such a big financial blow. You just have to pay the amenities.
James, practical advice. Thank you. Not always as easily done as said, but I hear your point. And while we're speaking practicalities, we haven't had time to bring in Jennifer Ritchie into the conversation, but I do just want to mention that she's got a wonderful handbook called Retrenchment, a coaching handbook for reinventing yourself, that is worth checking out if you are in this position, on her website, which is Jennifer Ritchie, RITCHIE, jenniferritchie.com. It talks you through the immediate practical steps with regard to your finances. It talks you through what you need to think about in refreshing your CV and getting yourself ready for re-entering the job interview market, etc. Lots of legal, financial, URF claim advice, that kind of thing. So worth looking out for if you are in this position. Gosh, Brian, we've got so many people sending messages. It's quite overwhelming how many people are in this position, but they are all echoing the sentiments of the message you've shared with us about the psychological impact and finding value in the advice you've shared with us today. So I want to say a big thank you to you for joining us. Brian Blem, counseling psychologist at the Lighthouse Therapy Center. Thanks for being with us.
But thank you so much. And my last statement would be that we all need to build our brand, and that's our own personal, identity. And this is a real knock, but it can also be a call to growth to discover what our brand really is.
Nice way of looking at it. Brian Blem, thanks so much for your contribution this afternoon.